Bienvenue to the Two Chance Podcast, a show dedicated to the belief that you can never have too many bikes in the garage and it's always a good day for a ride. And now, here are the Two Chance.
Okay. Welcome to a new year and a new podcast. Hello, John.
Hello, John, and happy 2022 to you.
Happy 2022 to you also. Did you have a good holiday?
I did. It was very momentous. We had so you've heard about the Cedar Mountain Outpost. We had a celebrity showing of Cleve Blackwell, who's really kind of a celebrity of Southeast cycling, being the SRAM rep, and just his general personality. Cleve Blackwell made an appearance, which was great. Longtime friend, Cleve.
I'm sure it won't be the last celebrity sighting at the CMO, because that's like the Hollywood of the Southeast.
Pretty much. It's a place to be, to see and be seen.
People wearing like full length fur coats down Main Street Boulevard.
Right. We should have rolled out a red carpet and had all kinds of lights and, you know, reporters and stuff. But so, John, you know what 2022 does usher in? Does it feel like it's been 15 calendar years of podcasting?
Oh, no, it doesn't. I thought you were going to say something else and I was going to get very exciting.
No, I was really just talking about how many years we've been podcasting. And I think I told you this, I did some maths, just some quick maths, assuming averages. I mean, because over that 15 years, we've read gobs and gobs of emails from really great listeners like the Sarcastic Cyclist, like Alva, like Durf, Fun Run Robbie, all the, you know, Western Superfan. Now I'm just name dropping, but some of those podcasts were pretty long and we're trying to keep these a tight 30 to 45 minutes. But some of those were like, you know, like Gone with the Wind saga, like podcasts that we even would break into two. And this is I may issue a Two Johns challenge, and I calculate just using averages that we have over 2 weeks of nonstop John banter.
Wow. That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot of lifetime.
Right. That's a lot of lifetime of listening and podcasting. There's been a lot more podcasts. Some of those we had to do twice.
Okay. So are you saying you want to keep them a tight 45 instead of the ramble casts?
Yes.
Okay. 45. Well, that segues into what I was excited about. 2022. What does the new year mean to a lot of people? Of course, yes, it means setting goals. And what's the best way to set a goal, John?
Oh, it has to be specific. It has to be measurable. And is it attainable? I mean, that sounds like not necessarily attainable.
Sure, attainable. You do it. Is it attainable?
Is it attainable? So there's also stretch goals, which are maybe a cousin of SMART goals, but. So let's see, attainable. I know what T is. It should be SMART goals because it's time phase. But I remember R. It's relevance, isn't it?
Is it relevance or realistic? No, I think it's relevance. Relevance. Realistic is attainable.
Okay, I think we have all those. Yes, it's specific. 45 minutes. Yes, it's measurable.
With
it's 45
watch.
Minutes.
With a watch.
With a watch. Yes, it's attainable, I hope.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Yes, it's relevant to us.
People like it.
As us doing it, and our time is valuable, and our listeners' time is valuable, and it's time phase because it is time.
Right. Okay, let's go.
All right, let's go. Well, why don't we jump right into listener feedback, and maybe we just call it email correspondence, because we did spend a fair amount of time setting up my email to receive these messages. And first off, I have to say a big thank you to our Patreon, our new Patreon supporters. Also a big thank you for our existing Patreon supporters. It's great that you help us out like that. But thank you, George Hodges, for your new supportage of the Two Johns podcast, as well as
Freya Shaw.
What?
Yeah. She came on board on January 1st, 2022.
Oh, I missed that one. That's great. Thank you. And the other one is John Wimbert.
And so we have three new Patreon supporters keeping the steamship Two Johns podcast chugging across the waters.
Yeah. So the bird on the limb. So I guess this is the little quid pro quo. He did support us, but now he has a question. What is our take on e-bike racing?
Okay.
All right.
What is our take?
What is it? I don't know that if we've necessarily crafted an official to John's stance on e-bike racing. First of all, I do have to say, I am not.
You mean admitted, like you're admitting that you're on an e-bike, not Cancellara and Tour of Flanders e-bike racing?
That's a good point.
Because I think it's already happening or has happened.
Of course. I think it even happened when, I think the Badger may have said, oh, that Greg LeMond is using some new technology. But yeah. You know what? My favorite thing is, was that Ryder Hegdahl when he fell one time and
his bike spun around in a circle?
Right. Whoop, 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 whoop. Yeah, when that wheel should have stopped. Yeah, so admitted e-bike racing. And I think what he's referring to is, and this is what my knowledge of e-bike racing is they're mostly more off-road and enduro type racing. Which is fine. I actually don't have an issue with enduro or more downhill oriented e-bike racing. That's fine. If you want to do that.
How about on-road e-bike racing?
Oh, you know what? I think you need to just give up the illusion and just let it be a motorcycle race, even if it's an electric motorcycle. Does it exist? Actually, does that exist?
I think there's e-bike Fondo stuff. I think so.
Like an e-bike category.
I think so. I'm not sure. I'm not for sure, as they say.
And that for sure.
I agree with you. I think the off-road is okay.
There's a lot more going on, I should say, with like an enduro or a downhill type thing than pedaling and fitness and measurement. I mean, there's other things that you have to manage and negotiate and pilotage, I believe the French word is. So yeah, it's not that, but I don't know. It seems kind of silly though to take an endurance event, athletic event, and do it on an e-bike.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. Sorry for interrupting. I don't know what the rules are either. Like, how do they limit what the battery capacity is, what the wattage of the motor is? I don't know.
I don't either. You would end up getting into something that was a bit of like the FIA balance of performance with Le Mans, where it's like, oh, you weigh 240 pounds. Well, you get a bigger motor or bigger battery capacity. Yeah, I don't know.
I've actually been in an e-bike race a couple times when I'm out riding with my father on his e-bike and he's throttling me up the hills and trying to catch him.
Yeah, it's
no fun.
This isn't saying anything bad about e-bikes for recreation or general, but a race. I mean, it's a race. I am. If it turns into a, if it's all clandestine, that's totally fine. right. You know, back to our earlier conversations, but
magnets.
But if it's overt and it's more of an endurance event, doesn't make sense.
Right. All right.
And you know what, John, I'm waiting for some smart guy like the sarcastic cyclist to be, well, what's your take on e-bike recumbent racing?
Well, that's a good thing you said that, because our next email is from the sarcastic cyclist.
What?
And the subject line is espresso question. Yay bone, exclamation point. What is your opinion on the Nespresso machines? I'm headed back to the office soon, and instead of nasty work coffee, I want something good. Do those Nespresso machines have any redeeming qualities beyond advertisements featuring the supremely dreamy George Clooney? Sign the sarcastic cyclist.
I believe you can also add to that dreamy pitchman, Brad Pitt. I think he's also an espresso drinker.
Yeah. I will say I've had some excellent Nespresso coffees. I don't have anything in general against the coffee, the taste, the crema. You know, you can get all different kinds of capsules. My problem lies in the waste,
the packaging and the waste of the capsule.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll say that I'm on the same page with that. And I should delineate. I think the Nespresso product is far superior to the Keurig product.
Yes.
It's far superior. Mm-hmm. And it's actually, so I think those Nespresso machines may be made by the actual pump and machine may be made by De'Longhi. And they have, if you look at each of those pods, they have a code on them. And the machine reads the code, and that's how it knows what volume of water, what pressure. That's one of the things that separates those machines, is that each of those different each of those different types of coffee has a different setting that the machine responds to.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that it does a pretty good job.
I do too.
Do not like the waste. And as a member of a recently opened coffee shop that is rapidly rising up the appreciation charts of coffee connoisseurs, I don't think there's any replacing an actual quality espresso machine and grinder. There just isn't.
The last two times I've been to Columbus, Ohio, home of the Ohio State University, to participate in varsity parties and sporting observations, I stayed at this cool hotel, and in the rooms they have Lavazza pod machines. And just like the Nespresso, they made an awesome cup of coffee. I even raided the maid's closet, which was down the hall, to get more pods so I could get more than my two allotted per room pod quota. And you can pull a long shot or a short shot. And I was talking to the first time I stayed there, it's a really cool place. It's like a converted dormitory. And it's, you feel like you are on this showroom floor of an IKEA, like really tidy little rooms with nice furniture. And I was talking to the desk staff the first time, and I was like, oh, that's great. First time I stayed here. She's like, is the room, you know, any suggestions? Because it was newly open. And I said, no, I love the espresso machines. And she's like, yeah, people just steal them.
Wow. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, because they're very small. That, you know what? That is one thing that's nice about that Nespresso machine. It is, the footprint of it on your countertop is very small.
Yeah. I think in the long run, it's going to cost you a lot more money in pods rather than buying an automatic or semi-automatic machine where you put the beans in yourself.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. However, the quality of it is, I think it's a high quality cup. The convenience of it is kind of hard to beat. The waste of it is not
undeniable.
And the fact that you can't just go, it takes some planning. You can't just go to your local roaster, your favorite roaster, and say, I would like, you know, for instance, back in the, you know, in the, which I still receive these coffee babies, go to your Drake's roaster and say, I would like 5 pounds of your finest Two Johns espresso. Mm-hmm. So you have to use their product, which is a nice product. It ships well. And that is one of the things that I think is kind of interesting and that may be lost a little bit on this, or at least, on, you know, it's kind of between the lines, is that these are, this is a ground coffee that's packaged and shipped. And who knows how old that coffee is, but it still makes a good cup of coffee.
But it's airtight sealed, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there is, yeah, I've never, I think I'll do that tomorrow morning because I'm sure tomorrow morning I'll probably wake up and use one of those machines. I might shake the thing around a little bit and see if there's any air in there. I think there's air.
Oh, yeah. It's not total full of coffee. All right. Good question.
Yeah. Thanks, Sarcastic.
Next question is, you see it?
Yeah. So Joe B asks, 2J's podcast. That's the subject. Hey, John, talking CX Worlds. Can Hunsinger beat Voss again? And two, can Lars beat the Belgies? Best regards, Joe B. Bike Air.
This is Joe Biker.
This is Joe Biker, yeah.
He's been around for a long time.
Yes, he has.
As an internet influencer, bicycle journalist, etc. Okay, so that was on my list of things to talk about, of that Matthew Van Der Poel announced he was not going to Worlds due to injuries. Wout Van Aert, who smashed the Belgian nationals, also announced he's not going just because he's going to now focus on road and the spring classics. And I have to suspect, too, there's a lot of people just don't want to risk all this COVID stuff and then screwing up their seasons. So that travel from Europe to the States is going to eliminate a lot of Europeans.
Yeah.
So those two guys are not coming. So this is Joe's question, you know, who's going to win Worlds now that Van Der Poel and Wout Van Aert aren't coming? You know, Lars Van Der Haar, Toon Aerts, you know, Pidcock, Easerbit. First of all, are those guys going to come? Who's going to test positive for COVID before then? And I have no reason to believe that Fayetteville isn't going to happen, but it might not.
It might not. Yeah. I think that's the weird thing about it. It might not. There's no committal to it happening.
Yeah. So, you know, those names that I just named, those are kind of my picks for the men's. For the women's, I think I'm really interested to see how Clara Hunsinger is going to do because she's awesome. I love her. She's raced this course before. I think it's a good course for her. I hope she beats Marianne Vos. But there are others up there too that she has to beat as well.
Yeah, she has to beat Brand. She has to beat
Elise Betsema. She's got to beat
Alvarado.
Who's coming on strong this season.
You know, this whole world's buildup kind of illustrates to me, and these are real things, but it's also the real thing. Okay, this is going to go back to our last podcast, John, talking about cyclocross as an Olympic sport, and that, you know, kind of gimmicky Val de Soleil snow cross, and the UCI or the attempt to take something that is a super Benelux focused discipline and make it a global discipline. That really, it hurts when you have, and I know Vanderpool's injured, but you know, when your biggest names in the sport are like, it's a little hard for me. I don't know that I'm going to go to Arkansas. Yeah. I think that hurts. I mean,
I do too. And I'm thinking that Wout Van Aert would race were it not for the races in the States.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's an answer or it's a question that you can't really know the answer to unless you're talking to the actual rider. But it sure does seem like like he would.
Well, speaking of another thing that the UCI is trying to ruin or may ruin, the announcement of the UCI Gravel World Championships, which will be next year in September, that Erwin Vervaeken is the director of 15 to 20 qualifying races. They say that they're going to announce it after a meeting at the World Championships in Arkansas, and that they'll use the 15 to 20 qualifier events to pick, you know, like if you finish in the top, I don't know, 10%, 15% in those qualifier events, then you qualify for the Worlds. And it's going to be, you know, they still haven't announced or decided, maybe, is it amateur? Is it pro? Is it a mix?
Mm-hmm.
They are kind of vague on rules about equipment.
Which is sort of antithetical to the UCI, isn't it? Like,
well, being vague is totally on brand for gravel, but
yeah.
I think this is gonna not ruin gravel, because it's just a strange thing. Like you said, it's the UCI taking something and perhaps ruining it.
Yeah, well, no, that's what I'm saying, is that vagueness is kind of antithetical to the UCI. It's totally part of gravel.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yeah.
So this, John, this kind of reminds me of something that was going around. I don't know if it was 5 years ago. It was an April Fool's story about the UCI, or maybe it was even USA Cycling. I mean, you know, about them setting up the rules for an official world championship or national championship of gravel. It was a tongue-in-cheek April Fool's thing. And yeah, like specifying the tire width, maximum tire width, and blah blah blah, you know. And now that you know, that's what's happening.
Well, have you seen the movie Don't Look Up?
Or no,
Dr. Strangelove?
Or... Oh, I have seen, or Wag the Dog, or yeah. Have you watched Don't Look Up? Is it good?
Yes, yes, yes.
It looks sad. I did like sort of recently rewatch Idiocracy.
Yeah.
Which was also sad.
Yeah. So anyway, look for announcements around. And I was reading an article about it, and that's when I discovered, I guess I knew it, but just was reminded that UCI has a Gran Fondo series, World Series. And so they're thinking about patterning it like that.
That would make sense, because gravel events are kind of like Gran Fondos.
Yeah.
They're just sort of off-road Gran Fondos. So I guess back to Joe Biker, to his email. With all of that, do you consider, I mean, the world is the world. I mean, you're the world champion. You can only beat those that show up. Let's just say his second question. Lars beats the Belgies.
Yes.
Is it a world championship?
Absolutely. You know... Well, yeah, because here's the cyclocross purist would say, good riddance, VDP and Wout Van Aert, because you didn't put in your dues for 4 months racing the circuit. You're not real cyclocrossers. So, yeah.
Oh my God, wouldn't it? Even though I just showed up and smashed you all at my national championships. For the fifth time.
I think it's legit. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm rooting for Lars Vanderhaar. I love that guy.
Yeah, it will be hard. I mean, it is hard in today's world where we have COVID, where an athlete who maybe let's say Van Aert is going to do it. And then a week before the event, he gets COVID and mm-hmm. can't travel. That would be a major, major bummer. And that's a real potential.
It is.
I mean, it's one of the ways that this pandemic really has kind of, you know, makes these events kind of difficult. You know, it really kind of takes away, like, you can't have that full field. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I think the bigger question of this is, will cyclocross be able to go beyond its Dutch, Belgian, French, that sort of Luxembourg area? Can it escape Northern Europe
to be you
something
mean
bigger?
The best riders in the world only yes. coming from there? No, I don't think so.
Or even just, you know, being able to export it out of there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I question it. I don't know. And I'm okay. And it, you know what? It doesn't have to be the biggest sport ever. I think it's okay if it's, you know, if that's just what they like to do. And it's really big there. It's not really big right. in, you know, it's not really big in the south of France.
Just like right? that sport where those guys ride around on horses and they use a goat head as a soccer ball. It's like in Nepal or something. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
I don't know if they, I think they have mallets like polo.
So it's like polo. Sounds like it's like polo.
But they use a goat head.
But they use a goat head. It's not even round.
No.
It's not even like a rugby ball. Mm-mm.
I could be getting all of those details wrong. Mm. But I think at least one of them is correct. You pick. All right. Next, let's see. All these emails, by the way, were sent to twojohnspodcast@gmail.com. And the message from John was sent a message to us through Patreon when he became a supporter. Thank you for supporting us. The last one, this is like a Christmas gift email. Do we read this one from the second half cyclist?
Yeah, I think we do, because he put some effort into it, and he's kind of captured.
Oh, put a lot of effort into it. Okay, yeah. This email comes to us from the second half cyclist. Subject, Epiphany Gifts for the Two Johns. Good afternoon, Johns, and a blessed feast of the Epiphany to you both.
I guess this, not to interrupt, but not exactly a Christmas gift. It's an Epiphany gift.
Right. Which, and you know, John, when you used to live here, you may have participated at least one of them. On the Epiphany at my household, we burn the Christmas tree.
Yes. It's like a rock concert.
Yeah. It's like a missile. So anyway,
it felt like a pagan holiday is what it felt like.
Well, this was the Epiphany. So okay. Good afternoon. Blessed Epiphany to you both. I'm not much of an Episcopalian anymore, but I do enjoy the idea of giving gifts on the celebrated day of the celebrated day, the three kings gave their gold, frankincense, and myrrh to baby Jesus. I have identified for each of you a pair of socks from curatorsocks.com, and I hope you'll enjoy this small token of my appreciation. John K., there's a slight delay with yours unless you'd prefer something different, but here's what I went with. So this is a place where you can curate your own pair of socks or go off there. Already off the prêt-à-porter socks. John G., my socks are the Liberty Leading design by Eugene Delacroix. Perfect for any Francophile, let alone a legendary sportif cycliste like yourself. These also may be closely color coordinated with your current team kit. That's my hope anyway. Of course, you may never even consider wearing these on the bike. Is there a creative sock prohibition in the rules, capital underlined? Apologies if I've transgressed against the cycling gods. Start watching your mailbox in a week or so. All right. So my socks are the Eugene Delacroix Liberty Leading, and they have the French flag on them, crossed muskets, and the Lady Liberty is, you know, holding up the...
She is unafraid and a daunting female figure leading her countrymen to victory.
There you go. John Kay, The Tower of Babel by Pieter Bruegel the Elder is what he chose for you, John. If you're an architect who podcasts, these are absolutely for you, even after years of listening. When you guys cyclocross over into the technical high grass or deep cycling history, it can still feel to me like a completely different language. Not as much anymore, but every now and then. Your preferred size, however, according to the delightful Mrs. K, is temporarily out of stock. And so I'll forward to you a Curator Socks gift card on the heels, another pun, of this email for you to use however you like, if a different pair strikes you. And then there's a picture of the Tower of Babel socks.
So this is a famous painting.
Yeah, by Bruegel.
The Elder.
Bruegel,
the Elder. Yeah. And you know what, John? This kind of reminds me. It's hard for me not to think of Wright's Guggenheim in New York. Mm-hmm. It's like this Tower of Babel is like a continual spiral up or down, which however you want to look at it. Yeah, it's cool. Cool socks. I think I will wait for these. It's a good colorway for me. I like that.
I like them. Okay. And he closes. Okay, John's just a small token of my appreciation for you sharing your friendship and cycling enthusiasm over the interweb. I hope you're staying safe and healthy. Enjoying the new year. And I hope your feet stay warm on any outdoor winter rides. Thanks again. Signed, the second half cyclist.
Oh, thanks, second half. That's great.
Thank you very much.
Cool socks. I am going to wait for mine to be in that size.
Yeah. I'm waiting for mine too. I can't wait.
All right, John. Smart goals. Got to stay on it. Thank you very much. Okay. So thank you for all of the listener feedback. You can reach us at twojohnspodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter or the Facebook Meta, or even Instagram at twojohnspodcast as our handle. Please support us at Patreon. Thank you for all of our existing and new supporters. Greatly appreciated. I think that's... Oh, and you can find our podcast, which you probably already have, on Apple Podcasts, or we are hosted by Podomatic.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have a timer, so I don't know how close we're getting to 45 minutes. I have a counter.
Yeah. You know what? My old recording way used to tell me that. But okay. So, John.
Hey, let's keep going.
We'll keep going. I have one question. Since this is a new year, we're going to do a little bit looking back. Do you have a highlight of 2021 in the cycling world? And I'll say in the bike racing world, and it's something that stuck out to you. And you can think I've got.
I have a great bike ride. I have a day, a really good day on the bike, and it was with my buddy Adam and my buddy Chris, and climbing. Adam and I had done a couple days on a similar loop, and we smashed it up the Col de Fontaube.
Oh, and, awesome!
And great. Adam, the Florida Flatlander. Former little 500 champion, I kind of on the false flat just set the tempo for like 15 minutes, blah, 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 blah. And then he rode like 90% of the climb, and I was, and he and And I was waiting, you know, kind of when you're riding behind somebody, you can tell like when they're ready.
Yeah.
But he was just like on the pedals, on the pedals, on the pedals, almost all the way to the top. It was awesome. And I just sat there in his wheel. It was beautiful.
Nice.
And we had a fresh glass of peach, like peach nectar at the top. There's a farm. Served to us by a lovely early middle-aged French woman.
Nice. Seasonal, of course.
Yes. No, so, it's apricot. Apricot.
Oh, apricot. Yeah, peach. Do they do peaches in
I think so. Not there though.
But okay.
It was apricot.
It's too dry of a soil that stresses the grapes, and that's what makes the wine so good.
I guess. Okay, so that's my memory of 2021.
All right. Well, so my memory, just thinking of like sporting, like as a spectator watching, and I may be a little bit of a fan. I may be reviewing a little bit of a fanboy here, but Vanderpool at the finish of the Strada Bianchi. Mm-hmm. That's one of those events, kind of like Rees 1996 Oticam, that you look at and you just go, what? That was unreal. Unreal.
Where he dropped Alaphilippe like three times.
Yeah.
Like it was just like bam, bam.
Right. Just like smash. You want to see what 1100 watts for 20 seconds looks like at the end of a race? Here you go. And I don't mean that with any sort of innuendo, like you would expect somebody who refers to 1996 Rees Houdegem, but
yes,
it was awesome. I mean, that really was like, holy moly. And just the whole season of watching these riders who you see race and cross, you see them race in mountain bike, and you see their excellence in road racing. I mean, Van Aert had an awesome season. MVP had an awesome season.
I saw Van Aert in person from, you know, me to across the room. I saw him come across the finish line on that Vontu stage.
Wow.
He was stoked.
That's incredible. I mean, these guys are they're excited to race their bikes and do this, and they're certainly not affected by it. They like to race their bikes. Otherwise, they wouldn't race their bikes so much.
Can we talk Zwift briefly?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Yesterday, my father has he has all the toys. He has a Wahoo Kicker bike, which is a $3,000 machine that you can dial in to fit your bike exactly, with drop handlebars, shifters with buttons that you can set up to be 1x10, 1x12, triple chain ring. You can set up any gearing you want. You can set it up so it shifts like SRAM, Dura-Ace, Campy. You know, you can make the buttons do different things. And like I said, you can dial it in so it fits exactly like your bike. Crank arm length is adjustable. It has three different holes to put your pedal in. And it tilts like the rides outside of the supermarket you would beg your mom to go on. But so it simulates uphill, downhill, and it has a downhill assist flywheel too. So you get like that sensation of being pushed down the hill. And anyway, I'm down, getting close to completing all of the rides on Zwift. You can see which ones you've done. And when you complete all the rides, you get like a special badge that only I can see. So whatever. But all the rides that I'm down to are like these mega long, you know, 6,000 foot, 70 plus mile rides. And I did one of those yesterday. And I was like, if I'm going to do this ride, I'm going to do it on his bike. So I went and I did it on the Wahoo Kicker bike. It's pretty amazing.
Pretty cool.
Like, it took me around 4 hours to do this ride, and it was like 5,700 feet of climbing. And
oh my God, you did 4 hours on the trainer. Holy shimoly.
Right. But I like, yeah, that's, I mean, that in and of itself compared to the olden days is amazing. But this bike, this Wahoo Kicker bike, it's, I have just the Wahoo Kicker, you know, mm-hmm. that you put your bike on, but this is a whole bike in and of itself. Anyway, Zwift has announced that they're going to make a bike, and they think they're going to, Zwift is sponsoring the Tour de Féminine this year, the week long part of the Tour de France. And speculation is they're going to announce it in July, but they have like a rear wheel trainer where you would put your bike on, but they also have a full bike that looks, I kid you not, like the prototypes, it looks like the Tron bike.
With would lights have to. And everything. That's cool. Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And it's the price point apparently is going to be a lot lower than the stages and the Wahoo Kicker mm-hmm. bike. And they say it's going to be like $2,200.
Cool. So speaking of bike updates, so have you ridden your bike yet?
Oh, one more thing. I just looked at my notes. Zwift, I was doing a group ride a couple of weeks ago. And in the little, like if you're doing a group ride, there's a chat window that just is for the people on your group ride. And there were like, I don't know, 300 people on this group ride. And I just sign up for them based on when it is and what the advertised speed's going to be. And somebody messaged me, are you in CTL?
CTL.
Charlotte? Or oh, CLT? CLT. CLT. Are you in CLT? And I'm like, no, this is because my Zwift name references to John Podcast. Uh-huh. So he said, are you in CLT? I said, no, I'm the John in Ohio. And he is like, oh, wow. And I said, are you in Charlotte? He's like, yeah, I'm in Charlotte. And I said, the other John is in Charlotte, but mostly Brevard. And then, so I was like, you know, oh, wow. Someone on all of Zwift, somebody right. is like giving to John's podcast a shout out. And then the message comes back. My dad loves you guys.
Oh, that, you know what? That is a good, yes. Well, when you
were saying 15 years,
right? 15 years. And you know what, Jenna, I was talking earlier today about an upcoming interview, and I do feel like it's a new generation of next generation of some cyclists that you'll be hearing from.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was pretty funny.
That's really funny. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We just got another email.
Yeah, and I feel like we need to, especially since he gifted us socks on the Epiphany.
Right. Oh wait, before I distract you again. You asked me about the new bike.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
And have I ridden my new bike? No, I have not, because I'm still waiting for the supply chain to be reconnected, because I cannot get a Dura-Ace 12-speed group right now.
Oh, wow. All right. So they haven't delivered. Like those haven't shipped or whatever.
The bike is sitting there with the Gulo Pave wheels on it,
mm-hmm.
seat post, seat, handlebar stem, one piece, and that's it.
It's just waiting. Cranks, levers,
yeah.
brakes. Oh, chain. What's the what? Yeah, what's the? Do you have a date or just indefinite?
The ETA from the distributor was Thanksgiving. Then they changed it to just before Christmas. Then they changed it to January 1st. And now there's no ETA.
Mm. Hmm. Would you ever consider going Red Axis? AXS.
After working on Ben's bike at Nationals, I would consider it. Yeah, I'd consider it.
How about EPS?
I know you like that stuff. You like it.
I know. It's not that I don't like it. I just haven't had. I don't know. I would probably go Shimano, or you know, I'm a little bit of you know, where I am in my life, I might also be go the dentist side and go camping.
I can't. It's too expensive. Way too expensive.
You might be able to get it though.
Oh yeah.
And it's you really it's really nice.
All right.
I would probably go Shimano though.
Yeah.
And I do think that 2022 will have a road bike in my future. I do think that this email from that we just got in hot off the presses should be where I think it's a good closing. It's like how the Rolling Stones Exile on Main Street should have closed with May the Good Lord Shine a Light on You. You know, that song, and said that there's this other song that seems like it's tacked on to that, that album. I think this would be a good end of our, first podcast of 2022, as we're in the shorter daylight times of the year and we need things to look forward to.
Okay, go ahead and read it.
Okay, here we go. Subject, very creatively, is listener feedback. Hello, Johns. Winter greetings from the Deep South and a belated Happy New Year. I hope that your off-season regimens have settled in easily and that your winter rides are humming along well. As we look forward to warmer days and filling our summer calendars, I wonder if either of you have any events that you've been considering that might be particularly challenging or exotic or just out of the ordinary. What would you really like to ride this year that you haven't ridden before? Cheers and thanks, the second half cyclist. So, John, this the timing of this is pretty good because both you and I got a text from China Todd this morning.
Right.
Or who knows when that was, but my alarm went off. I had to get up. I had to set an alarm this morning and I looked at my phone and I was like, oh, text from China Todd. Oh, it's like three paragraphs long. And he wants to So China Todd wants to come to the US and he's having his entrance to the BWR, the Belgian Waffle Ride in San Diego, which he's done before, moved to the Asheville event. And I said I would do it. Now, granted, I just woke up and I'm laying in bed and I did not look at my calendar or anything like that. But I, you know, I think I'm going to do, if I'm around, I think I will try to do an event like that. And do the full distance. And I, you know, I'm going to admit my volume and distance of stuff I've been riding just isn't that long. And this would be, it may seem like a weird thing, like, oh, you know, you've ridden all this stuff and you live in that area. It's still a challenge to do an event that with that much climbing and that much distance. For me, I haven't done that for a while.
I think you should do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you know, I'm unavailable. So that's
yes, I know that's that is I won't even say it's not a bummer. I mean, it's because you've got a very happy thing you're going to be doing. So but it's going to be something like that, that I, you know, I think I'm going to set a goal and it gives me something to work toward.
I would like, I think you should. That's a great idea. Send me some pictures. I would like to do two events. Both of them are in Michigan. I want to do the Michigan Coast to Coast, which is a gravelly kind of ride. And I'd also, I've never done Iceman. I'd like to do Iceman. Mikey did it last year. Mikey's done it. No, actually, that was Mikey's first time doing it. His wife, Jerry, does it, has done it many, many times and has podiumed on before. She's a great mountain biker, but after talking to Mikey about it this year or last year, I'm going to give Iceman a try.
Cool.
A mountain bike race, John.
Yes.
But well, the hardtail is going to be perfect for that.
Yeah. It's not a super techie mountain bike race, 27 miles. What is the coast to coast? I don't know about this coast to coast.
It goes from Saginaw to the other side. It's a one day. It's like 200. Whatever miles,
Wow. Saginaw to St. Joe.
Luddington.
Oh, is it Luddington? I was going to say Luddington. Because Luddington's about the same. Well, Luddington may be a little north. I don't know. It took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. You know.
Did you run away from home or something?
Yeah.
Oh. 210 miles. Blah-bitty blah. It's June 25th, 2022.
Oh, you won't need knee warmers.
Point Ogress Marina, Lake Huron to Stearns Park Beach, Luddington. 208 miles, 21-hour cutoff.
Wow. That's cool. That's a cool event.
Come do it. You'll be fit from just having done
the BWR. Yes. It'd probably be the and I would definitely have to have a road bike for that.
Okay, it says it's known for everything that's not gravel: forest roads, two tracks, snowmobiles, trails, even a little gravel friendly single track.
Oh, wait a minute, so it isn't a road event. Did you know this?
Yes, I know that.
Oh, you did know that.
It's okay. An off-road event.
It's an off-road event. So that I won't need it. That's a big day.
It's more dirt than gravel. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So what's the cutoff? 22 hours? So you need lights.
Yep.
Have they run it before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Many times. I know people have done it.
What are the what are the typical times? Is it the same route every year?
It repeats. Yeah. Yeah. I think they have slight changes, but it's sponsored by your favorite lube, Boshield, T9 Boshield.
So oh, really? Like I think that's I do like that. I didn't really. You know what? I should have known that was from Michigan.
Let's do this, and we'll get Gulo out there with the. With the Gulo tent halfway, chug some beers.
All right.
Keep on going.
Okay, well, hold on. I've just opened up my calendar. It's
June 25th.
June 25th. Okay. All right. All right. Right after the BWR. And yes. All right. Smart goals. That's a long run.
Yes.
We might even have to have some two Johns, you know. Special fancy boy kits made.
Oh, registration opened in the fall. Is it open? Is it closed? Oh, good. It's not closed. Okay. We're in, John.
All right.
Get some socks.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, we could do a two-person relay team.
Would that be? Oh, here it is. Michigan's Coast to Coast Gravel Grinder.
Tandem.
Oh my gosh, no, we're not.
Oh, fat bike, that sounds horrible.
It does sound horrible. Oh, man. Okay,
we'll get one of our lovely wives to drive the RV.
Yes,
and shower us with cheers and compliments as we ride by and hand us sausage rolls.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it looks like the highest elevation you start at what, like 200 feet. And you do peak out at like close to 1,500 feet. Yeah, close to 1,500 feet, somewhere around Cadillac, which would make sense because you just came from that area. Because isn't Cadillac, what's around Cadillac? Is Nub's Knob around Cadillac?
I don't know where. I've heard of Nub's Knob, but I don't know where that is.
Oh, or maybe Caberfay. Wait, where? I forget where Caberfay.
Or Nub's Knob is around. Yes, I think.
Yeah, I think it's around. I think that's around. And then you descend into something sort of the Piedmont of Western Michigan, all the way down to the lowlands of Luddington.
All right, you in?
I'm in. That's a big deal. Wow! Ride into the sunset. Cutoff 9:32 p.m. or 15 hours, or averaging 13.6 miles per hour.
Oh, I bet we'll average 18.
Totally. Yeah, I bet it'll be over 20.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Okay. So that's a smart goal. And I think that we have exceeded. Just because we haven't hit our tight 45 doesn't mean we failed. But John, I do think it's time for us to wrap up this podcast.
Okay. I agree. Thanks to everybody for emailing us and supporting us. We hope you have good, safe rides. We'll see you on Zwift. We're always your dad's favorite podcast. And all that stuff. Right?
I haven't even thought about being somebody's dad's favorite podcast. That just brings a whole new dimension of things that I think about.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. Right. See you, John.
See you, John.
Yo, you have been listening to the podcast. Want more of them? Follow us on Twitter at www.twitter.com/podcast. Or send us an email. Mm-hmm. Talk about. Enjoy your ride.
Oh, yeah.
Be safe. Get a rip. Oh. And if you ride with us, please.